Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol Jesus 911. This is the Friday show. My name is Jesse Romero, my beloved wife.
Anita Romero.
Tobias
Sarah,
and Sarah.
Yeah, Tobias and Sarah. We're here.
Sacrament of marriage in action. And by the way, you read the story of Tobit, you'll see the power of a couple praying together.
Yeah, there's such a great example for us as a couple. And those of you that haven't been able to read that scripture verse, I encourage you to do that.
Yeah, that the whole book of Tobit. So we're going to start off with an opening prayer here. We'll pray the St. Michael first in English, then we'll do it in Latin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Santi Michele Arcangele, defendinos in praelio, contra nequitim et insidious diaboli est opresidium, impedet illi Deus supplices de precamur tuque, princeps malitiae celestis, satana maliosque, spiritus malignus, qui ad perditione animarum perrogantur in mundo, divina virtute, inferna de trude. Amen. In nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Yes.
Hey, we're going to talk.
You, Jesus.
You're going to really love the next four couple of weeks, Anita, because we're going to give, again, this is educational spiritual warfare, what we do. We want to equip the Catholic family, the Catholic man, the Catholic woman. And we're going to talk about the next couple of weeks on really basic ways to spiritually protect yourself and your family. So it's going to be spiritual warfare for the family. And I want to mention, some people are talking about, Jess, Anita, this is Friday the 13th. Let me share with you a little bit about Friday the 13th, okay?
Folklore and superstitions.
Yeah.
That we know for sure.
Now, the psychologists, they've actually, just like they give a name to everything, you know, if you cuss a lot, Tourette's syndrome, if you are possessed, schizophrenic. The medical community, every type of sin or disorder, they give a scientific name. So what do they call people that are afraid of Friday the 13th? They call it, the psychologists call it, periskevide katriaphobis. That's being afraid of Friday the 13th. So what's this day all about? Why is it considered unlucky? Well, like many elements of folklore and superstition, it's hard to actually trace the accepted theory of where this comes from. But it's pretty easy to see why Friday might be considered unlucky. It was the day of the week when Christ died, after all. So the fear of the number 13th is likewise thought to stem from the death of Christ. That is, the Last Supper involved 13 people, and it took place on the 13th day of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar. Of course, this correlation is contrary to Catholicism, because we would condemn this as the sin of superstition. That's paragraph 2111. We don't believe in luck or no luck. We believe in providence, God's providence.
Yep, divine providence.
Yeah, we don't believe in luck or no luck or unlucky.
Right.
And so this article says, why would God condemn one day of the week or one number as being somehow better or worse than others? It says, I have a whole article on the religious significance of March 25th, celebrating the symbolism of that date. But there's nothing about the specific point on the calendar that makes it inherently good or bad. To put it another way, if the calendar were replaced with something completely different, would the luckiness or unluckiness of that particular day remain? So the article also says that witches, in their little gatherings, they gather in numbers of 13.
And remember, it's superstitious. Our Lady appeared to the three seers, Jacinta, Lucia, and Francisco, and Fatima. So October 13th was every 13th for 5 months. On the 13th day, she appeared to them. So do you think that's
superstition?
Superstition,
not at all.
Bad luck?
No, the devil wants us to, again, the devil just wants to pervert everything. So Catholics, there's nothing inherently evil about Friday the 13th. I don't care how many Hollywood movies come out about, you know, Friday the 13th. Don't believe it for a second. Okay.
Right.
Let's talk about the family and spiritual warfare.
Yeah, our article today is from Catholic Ace. He writes, 20 ways of spirit protection for yourself and your family. And this is our spiritual warfare show, and this is what we want to do. We want the basics, learn the basics of how to protect ourselves and our family. And
because that's all we need.
Right, that's all we need. And we can go anywhere and everything, although, if we let our guard down, we're in danger.
Absolutely.
So this is one of the ways we're going to help you all and help us, because putting this on air also reminds us of what we need to continue doing on a daily basis.
Okay. So let's go to point number one on the 20 ways of spiritual warfare. And by the way, the article starts off by saying, pray Psalm 91. Absolutely. What a beautiful psalm.
That's beautiful.
Psalm 91, in case you're wondering, okay, what's Psalm 91, Jess and Anita? Psalm 91 is the oldest prayer, the oldest exorcism prayer that's used in Scripture. It was used by Jewish exorcists 1,000 years before Christ. The Jews already had exorcists, and their go-to prayer was Psalm 91. And so that's a prayer that every Catholic, especially if you're feeling some type of
attacks
at home or personal attacks, start praying Psalm 91 every day. In fact, you could pray in the morning and in the evening. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual warfare. And in fact, it's so powerful that you'll find the devil, when the devil tried to tempt our Lord, guess what he was quoting back to Jesus? He was quoting to Jesus parts of Psalm 91, because the devil knows. Mm-hmm. In mockery, basically, he says, this is the prayer that you guys use against me. So he was trying to project it against our Lord Jesus Christ. So, but the first point is, we got to live in a state of grace.
Okay, yeah, live in a state of grace.
This
That's
is everything.
The first one. Yeah, absolutely it is. So there's a scripture verse in Hebrews. He wrote, see to it that no one be deprived of the grace of God. So never and under any circumstance lose your state of grace. He continues, your state of grace is your principal protection against diabolic influence. As soon as you commit mortal sin, you are under diabolic influence. It only takes one. The more you commit the mortal sins, the more you become diabolically influenced.
Let me just mention, I've heard many exorcists, yes. Father Chad Ripperger included, he says, one mortal sin, one, that you don't confess and repent of and get absolved of, one, can lead to possession. So this is kind of a normative teaching amongst all Catholic exorcists. Yep. So you're saying, one unconfessed, unrepentant mortal sin, and I've heard Father Ripperger and others say, and people say, well, why isn't there many more people that are possessed? And because a lot of people live in mortal sin. I'll tell you why. It's only the grace of God. It's only because God prevents the devil from possessing everybody who's in mortal sin. But do they deserve it? Absolutely, they deserve it. But God doesn't give people generally what they deserve. He still protects us, even though, again, people are still walking in disobedience and they're not living in a state of grace. But this is everything in the Christian life.
Right. And this article continues, your state of grace is your principal protection against the diabolical influence. As soon as you commit a mortal sin, you are... Okay, we already read that.
Yeah.
So those who commit sin and do evil are their own worst enemies. And that comes from the Book of Tobit. We just spoke about that. Examples of mortal sin are great...
But Tobit 12:10, in case you guys are wondering.
12:10.
Yeah. Read that verse again, because that's a powerful verse.
It goes. Yeah. Those who commit sin and do evil are their own worst enemies. And for example, when people put a curse on you, what they're doing is putting a curse on themselves at the same time. So there you go. There's an example of your own worst enemies.
Yeah. That's the exorcists teach in the Catholic Church. This is the normative teaching. That people that put curses on other people, if you're in a state of mortal sin, the curse will take effect. The curse will have, it'll do damage, physical and mental damage, and it'll attack the person who's in a mortal sin. But the person doing the curse is also going to feel the effects of that curse. God is going to allow them to be affected by their own curse. That's the justice of God. God gives people what they deserve.
Right,
and if you're wishing bad on people, like a boomerang, it's going to come back right at you.
Right. And there's examples of mortal sin. You have grave matters of pride, fornication, viewing pornography on the internet, or any other type of materials that you might encounter. A deliberately missing Mass on Sunday.
And that's in the Catechism. Most people don't realize that. It's in paragraph 2181.
Especially missing Mass on Sundays. You're not receiving the graces.
And so those are just a few examples.
Yeah, a few, but there's many other examples.
Look at the Ten Commandments.
Seven
deadly sins.
Right.
Yeah.
And any mortal sin can make you possessed. It just takes one.
That's a direct quote from Father Ripperger, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah. So it's up to God to determine the diabolical influence for these sins. Again, it's only because of God's grace he doesn't let people get possessed with one mortal sin. It's only his mercy.
Right.
Because when people commit a mortal sin, what are you doing? You're acting against God's authority. God is our Father. All authority comes from God, who is our Father. And so we are sons and daughters of God. So when we walk away and live a life of disobedience, here's the way exorcists describe it. When you're in a state of grace, you're under God's authority. You're protected by God's authority. When you commit mortal sin, you move yourself from underneath his protection.
I hear Our Lady coming in. What a quick segment that was.
So ora pro nobis. Ruega por nosotros.
We love you, Morenita.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. And may God richly bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Pray for us, ora pro nobis, rega por nosotros. We're talking about educational spiritual warfare. As Catholic men, women, our families, we need to know what the church teaches when it comes to spiritual warfare, the do's and don'ts. And that's what we're going through right now. We were talking about the importance of living in a state of grace. I mean, I can't stress this enough. This is everything in the Christian life. This is why St. Paul can say things like, be an imitator of me, Paul, as I am of Christ. Why would St. Paul ask us to imitate him? Why? Because he lived in a state of grace. So if you imitate Paul, you're imitating Jesus. Jesus who of course he lived in a state of grace. He's full of grace. He's grace itself. So let's continue to with this informational topic on Catholic spiritual warfare for the family.
Yeah, okay. So whoever acts contrary to the principle of an order is deprived of the effects of that order. And that's by St. Thomas Aquinas.
Think about that. Say it again. This is so powerful.
Right. Whoever acts contrary to the principle of an order is deprived of the effects of that order.
Here's the context. God is our Father. God has given us commandments. When we follow those commandments, we live a life of order. When you don't follow those commandments, you live a life of disorder.
Yep.
So if you want to feel the effects of living an ordered life, as St. Thomas says, you want to feel peace and harmony and just tranquility and serenity of conscience and peace of mind, you live a life of order, you feel that peace in your heart. You live a life of disorder, you're going to feel the effects of disorder, which is stress, anxiety, disordered passions, disordered appetites, etc., etc.
And if you act contrary to the authority, you are robbed of the effects of that authority. When you act contrary to the established order that God has arranged, you leave yourself unprotected. Not only the natural order with human beings, but also on the spiritual level, God's divine economy of authority. And that is a structure of God's law. That's what the economy of authority, structure of God's law. So what are those functions of the authority?
There's two.
It provides and protects. And that just reminds me of the role of a husband. A husband is to provide and to protect. Also, St. Joseph, what did he do? He provided for Mary and Jesus. He protected Mary and Jesus. Just think about when he was on the flight into Egypt. He woke up, the Lord spoke to him, woke up and protected Mary. We got to go to Egypt.
And they didn't question him, by the way.
No.
Jesus and Mary, who were perfect,
they trusted
sinless,
him. They trusted him.
Immaculate.
Yeah.
I mean, let's think of the three people in the family, the only person that you could theologically say was not full of grace, not immaculately conceived, all the benefits, again, that we know about our Lord and our Lady. Joseph, the Bible doesn't say that he was born with those benefits or those actual graces. And yet, our Lord and our Lady knew that he had the authority, so they deferred to him.
The authority. And there was that order of authority there.
And that's what orders the house.
Order. Absolutely.
And so,
So Joseph, because of his authority, Mary trusted him. That's another character, Mary. She trusted him. She knew that Joseph is going to follow what the Lord has told him.
Right? And that's, I'll tell you what's important about that is I think St. Joseph, the Bible says that an angel appeared to him four different times. Is this microphone on? Four times, okay? Which means God was kept communicating to the patriarch of the Holy Family, Joseph, to lead the Holy Family.
Right, right.
So, again, like you said, when you act contrary to the order, you leave yourself unprotected from that order.
So that's why it's important. For those women that don't have a husband in the home, but you have your priest, make sure after Mass you get that blessing. That's a prayer of protection for you to get you through the week. If you can go to daily Mass, more power. That's more graces for you, for protection. But just remember, you are being protected. If you're living in the state of grace, and if you're going to Mass at least every Sunday, you make sure you get that blessing at the end of Mass.
Right. Just like my wife said, for those women that don't have a husband at home, there's two ways you're protected through patriarchy, because that's the way God set it up. So it's not, your beef ain't with me, it's with God's word.
Right. And you pray for your spouse that's not with you, no longer yes. protecting you, whatever situation, a living condition he's in, pray for their soul, because it's going to really give you more graces and more peace.
And it's going to make you holier.
Holy, absolutely.
You're getting holy as a result of right, interceding for somebody who's not holy.
You're suffering. It's a form of suffering, redemptive suffering.
Here's also something important. If the way a woman is protected, and this comes from, these teachings come from Liber Christo. We're just students of Liber Christo. We just happen to know, you know, some of the smartest guys in the world on exorcism. We just seem to happen to know them.
And they're so generous to share all their
information
their
with
information.
Us.
Yeah, I just feel so grateful for that.
So the way a woman is protected is through either her natural father. So if you don't have a husband, try to, when you visit your dad, have him bless you. They say, Dad, bless me. Put your hand on my head and bless me. I bless you, daughter, my daughter, in the name of the Father, Son. Have your dad bless you anytime you see your earthly father, because he has natural authority based on natural law, fourth commandment. So he could bless you. He has the power of blessing you. Or, this is why it's important to go to Mass every Sunday, the blessing of a Catholic priest. Don't do the Judas shuffle. Don't leave after Holy Communion. Wait till the priest blesses you, especially women that don't have a husband, because that's the way you're protected, by living in a state of grace and receiving that priestly blessing. That's the patriarchal blessing that you need.
You need that. Absolutely.
And also, you know, this whole thing about we're talking about being under authority, that's exactly what the reason Eve was attacked by the devil, as Father Ripperger says, is that she removed herself, she did it herself, of her own free will, from underneath the protection of her husband,
Adam. That's called usurpation.
She usurped his authority. And then he was guilty of allowing her to do that, so he was guilty of what's called dereliction of duty.
Yep.
Devil's knocking at your door, you let your wife answer the door, are you kidding me? Adam, dereliction of duty. Eve, usurpation.
Usurpation.
Watch me, I got the pants here. I'll take care of this. Mm-hmm. And now we know what's called original sin in the fall.
Right. And so what do the demons look at? What they don't like. I mean, demons don't want to get involved with someone who's living in right order. What does that mean? Living in a state of grace. They don't want to touch you with a 10-foot pole. So that's consoling for those that are living in a state of grace. And if you're not, get to confession right away so you can get in that state.
Anita, let me back up what you just said right now. From Saint Teresa of Lisieux says that she backs up what you just said. She says, a soul, and this is a doctor of the church, by the way. She didn't get a PhD from some liberal Catholic university. Saint Teresa of Lisieux, doctor of the church, in her books called The Story of a Soul, chapter 1, she says, a soul in the state of grace has nothing to fear from demons, who are cowards capable of running away from the look of a child. That backs up completely what my wife said in point number 1 about the diabolical, about demons.
Right. Point number 2, demons always try to get you to commit mortal sin and drag you down. So they're always out there tempting you with anything. They know your weaknesses, because they're there just looking at you and observing you 24/7.
They have nothing else to do.
They have nothing else to do. They don't go on vacation. They don't go to work. They don't eat. They don't
sleep.
They're just constantly want to take souls down. Remember that. So they're always looking to see what your weaknesses are. If you know what your weaknesses are, prevent them through prayer.
Why, by the way, the Bible says, the first pope, that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. Think about it. You know, you watch Animal Kingdom or something, and they show you lions in the wild.
They're
stalking. Their shoulders are hunched under the grass.
What? Yeah, they pounce.
They're just going after weak prey. Right. That's the metaphor of the way the devil is just stuck, and he's strong. Because they call him a lion, and he's walking around trying to get you
at
your weak point. And by the way, there's four.
The Laudate, remember we read that, and it talked about they're just waiting for the weakness and then to overcome them.
And they know you're weak. Person, and they could tell when you're in mortal sin.
Yes.
By the way, don't ask me how. But all exorcists will tell you that a demon knows when a person is in mortal sin, and a demon knows when a person's in a state of grace. They have computer-like accessibility to that information, computer-like.
Yeah, they're preternatural.
Yeah.
They're intelligent beings.
And so, again, they're able to tell because it's through projection. You're projecting God's grace around you, an aura of God's grace, or you're projecting the fact that you're in mortal sin, your soul's dark, and they can tell.
Yeah.
And so, again, if they see that you're in mortal sin, they just drag you down, like my wife just said.
Yep. And okay, the next one. Demons want you to act contrary to God's authority. We just spoke about that, how Eve went out of the authority of
Adam. And God, the
and
Father.
God. She both did that. So there you go. So we have to stay in God's authority. And that's with everything. We, you know, just an example, not to mention names or parish, but we were in a parish a long time ago. Actually, this past June, and this, the parish priest shared with us that this person was upset with the bishop, so she went, and she went over the authority of the bishop on an issue, and she won, but she went over the authority, and now her life is a mess.
Her marriage is a mess. Her kids are a mess. You know what
so
happened?
So there's retaliation.
Yes, it's called diabolical retaliation. When you move yourself on from underneath God's authority, you don't believe me? Read Acts 19. It's
and it was
right in there.
It was nothing spiritual. It was economical. It was something that, you know, didn't have to go in that direction. So I can see why there was retaliation.
The person made a mountain out of a molehill.
Absolutely, that she did.
And took the bishop to a canonical court and won. And her life is a mess, and her marriage is a mess, because again, she removed herself from under the bishop's authority.
Yeah, and it didn't have to do with anything spiritual; it had to do with economics and situational things there at the parish.
Yeah,
but
we want to build more.
We give us this church, and I just really. But anyways, that's an example I wanted to give you. You know, if you act contrary to God's authority, and that includes being under the bishops, if you're doing something,
authority is everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what Martin Luther didn't understand. That's what atheists don't understand. Secular humanists don't. Authority is everything in the Christian life if you want to live in a state of grace.
Wow, we're at the halfway mark. Our Lady is giving us that sound.
There she is.
Beautiful music.
Ora pro nobis, ruega por nosotros. Pray for us and our country. Amen.
A great man once said that evil is powerless if the good are unafraid. Well, you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose this war, and in so doing lose this great way of freedom of ours, history will report with the greatest astonishment that those that had the most to lose did the least to prevent it from happening. Well, I think it's high time now that we ask ourselves if we still even know the freedoms that were intended for us by our founding fathers. Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists not to do what you like, but having the right to do what you ought. You weren't made to fit in, my brothers and sisters. You are born to stand out. Set yourself apart from this corrupt generation. Be saints. God bless you.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Jesus 911 two-man car, two first responders.
Jess and Anita.
You know what Jesus 911 means? It's a prayer. It means, Lord, come to our assistance. That's what it means. All of us are part of Jesus 911. All of us on our lips should have that, Lord, come to our assistance. Anita, I like this one, George on the chat. He writes, George Ortiz, riding with the Romeros, cruising, jamming to Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. I love it.
Yes, we are. We're cruising. Cruising to heaven.
That's
together.
Right. We're cruising to heaven.
That's right. With Our Lady assisting us.
That's exactly. She's driving the car. We're not driving it. And somebody else asked a question on the chat. They said, what if the authority is doing bad to you? You just passed it up. I saw it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You don't listen to it.
I did.
Okay. Although God has given us lawful authority, if you got somebody who's telling you to commit sin, something that is contrary to God's law, you don't listen. I'll give you an example. Even if a cardinal, McCarrick, okay, when he was a cardinal, he said, take your clothes off and meet me in the beach house. What are you going to do? Oh, you're a cardinal, I'm going to listen. No! You never listen to those in authority when they ask you to commit sin or ask you to violate God's law. You listen to those in authority when their authority is congruent with God's law.
Yep.
And with what God has commanded. It has to be congruent with what, right, God says. When authority has gone south and when authority has gone evil, as we've seen right now in one political party, in fact, even in Catholicism, what do we say when the Democrats, they pass abortion, homosexual marriage, all that stuff? What do we say? As Catholics, we say that's an unjust law. And as St. Augustine, St. Thomas says, a Catholic is not required to follow an unjust law because it goes against God's law. So that's the answer to that question.
And, and in our own home, when our children were younger, my husband, Jesse, used to say, you guys need to listen to me in all things. If I'm telling you to sin, let's go smoke pot, let's go get drunk, let's go and do whatever with women, then you go against me. I've ceased to have authority over you at that point. When I'm causing you to sin, then you look the other way and
you oppose me.
Oppose me.
Like
absolutely.
Paul did to Peter. I oppose you to the face, Peter. You oppose me.
Yep.
So that's the answer to that question.
Yep.
So let's continue.
Thank you for the question.
Great question.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, our last bullet point on demons. Demons try to get you out from underneath it so you are not protected.
And that's what...
authority. We're talking about the authority.
Yeah, the serpent, the devil, did that to Eve, convinced her to move herself out of the authority of Adam,
yes,
and God, and now we have what's called original sin, the fall of man, and the consequences of that action of herself removing herself from underneath the authority. She was unprotected.
Yeah, the economy of authority. And that's why women, the demon want to take out the man. If they could take out the husband and weaken him, then there goes a woman. So the demons respond to authority, the merit of their prayer, the state of grace, purity of life, precision of the prayer. Prayer begets what it signifies.
So that's the three ways that you want to know, how do demons react to prayer? My wife just said it. Demons respond to authority. And then, of course, you have to be in a state of grace.
State of grace, absolutely.
And the precision of your prayer, which means be specific. God, please help us in these elections and bring justice, and Lord, expose the evil, and Lord, and let justice reign the day. That's a specific prayer. So remember, in Catholic theology, prayer begets what it signifies.
And even though the Lord knows what you're going to pray for, he wants to hear it from you. He doesn't want, oh, you know what I want. You know, I used to do that. I said, you know, Lord, you know what I want. But no, I need to verbalize that to him.
Matthew 7:7.
Yes.
Ask and you shall receive. So you have, God wants us. He wants us to come to him.
Yeah, come to him.
Like children.
Yeah, just like a child comes to the mother and to the father. I want to eat. I want to sleep. I need a bath. We know what they want, although we already have some idea, but God knows everything. He's omniscient, so he knows everything.
So let's move to custody of the senses.
Right. That's point our number second two. Point. Wow. There's so much in this article.
This is spiritual warfare to protect the family and the couple.
And for the common man, for those that were trying to make it as simple.
Blue-collar spiritual
absolutely
warfare.
Absolutely, make it simple for you to understand and, oh, okay, get it. That's what I want you guys to say.
Yeah. How do you protect yourself from the demon? Take custody of your senses.
So,
in fact, there's a verse there.
Yeah, on Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says, a city breached and left defenseless are those who do not control their temper.
Again, temper, it's part of the emotions, and the emotions are triggered by your senses. Yeah. Because remember, as exorcists teach, demons traffic through the senses. This is an important point.
The eyes, the smell, everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to practice custody of the senses. These are all on psychological level. These are also all virtues. Don't let anything come into your senses that are going to psychologically, morally, or spiritually take you down. For example, movies. Movies that are, that soft porn. I mean, anything that's just not virtuous. Because virtue is good, vice is bad, right? So those are the opposites. So anything that is not virtuous, you got to stay away from that.
And I'll tell you, somebody who knew about taking custody of the senses, and because he was attacked by demons a lot, on that was Saint John Vianney.
Yes.
What did he have to tell us? What wisdom did he have? Demons would come and attack him in his rectory. He knew about taking custody.
Right. He said we must watch over our mind, our hearts, and our senses, for these are the gates by which the devil enters in. Our mind, our hearts, and our senses.
By the way, St. John Vianney, the church regards him and St. Padre Pio as the holiest priests that have ever walked the earth.
Right.
It's the cure of our patron saint of parish priests. Pray for us, St. Padre Pio, pray for us.
Remember, the eyes, especially the eyes are, you have that optic nerve. Somebody looks in your eye, a doctor, an ophthalmologist look in your eye, and they can tell if there's some disease. So there you go. If sin enters through our eyes first and foremost, we're already developing that disease. It's already ready to be a catapult into
something else, right?
Yeah.
And that's why, by the way, even amongst the occultists, they have a thing called the evil eye. And by the way, people do. If you're in mortal sin, if you're not in a state of grace, and a witch and stuff, they start giving you the evil eye and projecting curses and spells, it takes an effect. But it starts with the evil eye.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, on a more practical level, movies, you got to watch. There are just some bad movies out there shouldn't be watching.
Movies, or even you go to comedy clubs or concerts.
Stuff on the internet now.
Our football Super Bowls, they're having these artists always turn off
the halftime shows personally. I said, okay, here it comes. I just turned it off.
So those are the things you want to not be a spectator for. So anything, just walk away. And even if you are the only one walking away, but you're saving your soul.
Yeah.
And you're being an example to the others, and with courage, because it takes courage to turn your back away from sin and from the crowd that is in that direction.
And let's just be honest. God made us visual beings, and he also made us physical beings.
Right.
So don't sit there and say, oh, yeah, I'm so holy. I can watch a bunch of young girls dressing in skimpy bikinis during halftime at a Super Bowl and not get racy thoughts. Don't lie. Okay? This is why Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, because he knows where it comes from.
Right.
And this is the whole theology of the Catholic Church about taking custody of your senses, especially your eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was so clear about the eyeballs. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Why? Because that's the first way that a demon is going to tempt you. And so you just got to watch yourself. And
if you let these things in your senses that can take you down, the demons will make use of it. They will use them to drag you down. Remember, demons are fallen angels, and they know our defects sometimes better than we do.
Yeah.
So it's very important that you, be diligent with yourself.
That's a good point you make. There's a book I have behind my shelf. It's a thick book. It's like 2 inches. It's for my Father Ripperger. It's called The Science of Mental Health. In there, he's got a section where here's what he says. I'll break it down because it's a thick book, 8 font. He says this. Mm-hmm. As you're looking at things throughout the day, reading, TV, whatever, music, all this is being stored in your sense memory data. Now, if you're taking in bad things, your mind also stores it in a word file, so to speak. Demons have access to what's in your mind, and they, like a mouse in a computer, they click it and they open it up.
Yeah, remember?
Exactly.
They go, remember? Remember.
Now, how is that wiped out? That's wiped out through the sacrament of confession. Yeah. That's wiped out through making a good act of contrition in the evening. That's wiped out by living in a state of grace. But if you're in mortal sin, demons now have access to those stored images and thoughts in your mind, and they double click them and open them up at the worst parts of a day. Can you imagine? You're there with your wife, you're in mass, and your wife is looking at her husband, and instead of seeing her husband's face, she sees her ex-boyfriend. Okay, boom! That's who she sees. What was that? This is what demons will do. This is why we have to take custody of our senses.
Yep.
Next, we'll talk about taking custody of our mind.
Guard your heart and mind.
Yeah. Yes, Morenita. Pray for us in our country. We pray for justice in this country. These elections. Ora pro nobis. Ruega por nosotros.
You are the crusher of demons.
Hands-on apologetics. You have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's apologetics dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's apologetics dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Guadalupe means the one who crushes the serpent. Pray for us, ora por nobis. We're talking about spiritual warfare for the family. Jesus 911, that means Lord come to our assistance. And we're talking about educational spiritual warfare. Let's continue.
For the common man and woman.
Yeah. For the blue collar person.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Number three.
Okay, so number three, it's custody of the mind. Wow.
Which really is connected with number two.
Yes, yeah, they kind of overlap. Yes, yeah. They do. Actually, they do overlap.
Because if you're taking stuff in with your eyes, it goes to the mind.
Mind, right. And then from the mind, it goes to your members.
The members of the body. That's right. The St. Paul theology.
Yep. So just remember, eyes, mind, and members of the body.
That's the theology of temptation and sin right there.
Absolutely. So it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And that's in Philippians 4:8.
So think about if somebody asks you, what type of music should I be listening to? What type of things should I be watching? Philippians 4:8 just answered it. It just answered it for you. Okay.
Yeah, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. Just
that verse tells you what you should be reading.
That is
what
so
you should
profound.
Be looking at what you should be listening to in music. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not acting like I'm a saint here. Neither is Anita.
No.
I sometimes watch UFC. Okay. Guilty. Guilty. All right. Sometimes I watch boxing. Maybe, you know, it's not honorable and pure and lovely. Okay. I got concupiscence still. That's about the worst things I'll watch. Sometimes, can you imagine? Sometimes I'll you know, flip it over to, you know, UFC and boxing and stuff. That's about it. I don't even like WWE no more because it's too raunchy. It has a
But I
try to wean myself out because my wife saw it when I was younger years. I just that was my life. I was immersed in that stuff, but not no more. I hardly watch it.
Yeah, his conversion to Christ, and it's just been...
because, you know, I'm still trying to take custody of my mind. So all I'm just telling you is, like, don't think like, man, Jess and Nita got all this figured out. No, we're still... she has it more figured
like
out than
you.
I do.
We're like you. We're struggling every day. We make a decision.
But we know what's right.
It's a daily decision to say, I'm going to follow you, Christ. Because I can wake up and say, I'm not going to follow you today. I'm going to do whatever my passions, my inclinations want to do. But no, it's every day. It's a daily decision to follow Christ, to say your prayers, to go to Mass if you go to daily Mass. It's just, and to be try to be the best person and reach holiness that day, and not and avoid,
the near occasion of sin.
Right.
Anita, here's something that's important, you know, about this whole custody of the mind. So some people want to say, okay, so practically, how do I take custody of the mind? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what Liber Christo teaches. Mental prayer gives you custody of your mind, of your intellect. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important. When you hit your knees, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my queen, my mother. See, what are you doing when you're doing your morning prayers? You're taking custody of your mind. That's what you're doing. Yeah. Because your mind could get racy. The church fathers call when you wake up, people deal with morning demons. Those are yesterday's problems, last week's problems. That's called morning demons. If you start and you just start firing off prayer, make the sign of the cross, you know, take Lord and receive my liberty, you know, my queen.
Say your
mother,
morning prayers.
Boom. You take custody of your intellect.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you do it. And again, so it starts right in the morning, because what are you doing? You're putting the devil on notice. You're saying, you're basically throwing the gauntlet down saying, I belong to Jesus.
And I'm not going to come into me.
You're not coming into me or my house or my family.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this prayer. You're throwing, it's an airstrike. You're giving your life to Jesus at the start of the day and giving your life to Our Lady at the start of the day, calling your guardian angel, St. Michael. So the devil sees, says, all right, move on to another house. This house is protected. They're going to go to the next house where people aren't doing morning prayers,
where they're
getting up and having a beer, dropping F-bombs and watching something horrible on television or horrible music.
And that just gets you steeper and steeper into mortal sin.
Steeped in mortal sin.
We have to just try to avoid that. Let's see. And you never let anyone come into your imagination.
Or anything
that is going to cause a problem. So that's why we pray in the morning, obviously. Our thoughts can be sinful. It is really important to keep custody of the mind over your imagination. It is normally the entry point in how demons suggest things to you, because demons have access to your imagination, they have access to your emotions, they have access to your memory. And we did talk about that, when your mind is like a computer, and you're storing things. Yes.
And so the demons, this is what St. Thomas Aquinas would call, the demons have access to your lower faculties. Okay, it's called the lower faculties of the soul. My wife just said imagination, emotions, memory. Those are the lower faculties of the soul. This is Thomistic philosophy. Demons don't have access, though, to your higher faculties. That's the intellect and will. I'll repeat it again. Demons do not have access to your higher faculties, to your intellect and to your will. That always remains under your dominion, but they do have access over your lower faculties, which is, again, my wife said, the three things.
Yeah, and that's why you can't let those, the imagination, emotions, and memory, you know, overtake the higher faculties. You really got to fight it, and that's through prayer. That's how you're going to fight it, and it's like a lifting weights. You know, you have to do it every day. To maintain your muscle mass and to keep the strength and your stamina up. If you don't, if you stop and then you start getting weak, that's what happens. Then everything else comes to play. So that's just an example. Yeah. I thought that would be the simplest example to understand that.
I think that here's something important also about, this is why what prayer also does. When you pray, again, theology of Catholicism, prayer begets what it says.
Mm-hmm.
So even a psychologist and a psychiatrist will tell you this. When they have a patient, they'll say,
you gotta
put different stuff in your mind, and you gotta imagine yourself, winning, or you gotta imagine yourself
something positive, that's gonna lift the spirit.
Why psychologists and psychiatrists say that? They'll say, when you imagine things, You make them present. So your imagination can make something present. I know, I talked to Guy Grutter. He was a prisoner of war for 7 years in Vietnam. He was tortured. You know what he told me kept him alive from not committing suicide in Vietnam? He says he had a daily prayer life three times a day. And then he said throughout the day, he would imagine himself in heaven with God, with Mary. He knows he could. Suicide is not an option. He would imagine himself in his arms.
Wow, that's
in
so
his wife's
beautiful.
Arms. He said that. He goes, the power of my imagination, see me embrace my wife one day and my kids, it kept me alive in a North Vietnamese prison for 7 years. He goes, because as I would imagine this in my jail cell, he says, it would become real to me. It would become real. So this is the power of prayer as well. Prayer, as Liber Christo teaches, it makes those things present. Our Lady's, the Passion of Christ, the Divine Mercy.
Yeah.
Your prayer makes those things present. Yeah. And also, this is why the other side wants to mess with your mind through images, because they call it conjuring. Mm-hmm. Because they know that with the mind, demons and the occult, they can, through their spells, curses, and hexes, they can conjure, which means bring the darkness and make it present to the person right now. Conjure.
And that's why your will has to at least once a day contemplation, that's what I want to say,
yeah.
to contemplate at least 15 minutes a day, your mind just focus on Christ, focus on his love, focus on the passion, focus on his resurrection, focus on the birth, focus on the luminous mystery. Just focus without just thinking about those mysteries. And that's what we need to do as Catholics.
Well, I can tell you this, in evening prayers, my wife sits in the side of the bed. She sits down, and I know not to bug her, and we'll do our prayers together, but then she'll sit down, and she closes her eyes, and she puts her stopwatch on, and for 15 minutes, she closes her eyes, and she goes into contemplation. And now all she's thinking about is God, Our Lady, heaven, eternal life, judgment day. And then after 15 minutes, you know, the bell goes off, and she'll continue praying with me something else. But again, that's Father Ripperger has actually said he doesn't have one case in 14 years that's ever been possessed that practices contemplative or meditative prayer. Not one. Yeah.
Okay, I can see why. You know, you're just contemplating and you feel like you're just there. I put myself there. I see myself kneeling while the baby Jesus at the birth. I just said, thank you, Jesus. You know, you just got to put yourself back in time there, like you were there, one of the people there. And that just makes all the difference in the world. And it's going to get easier and easier. It's all about being constant. Consistency is so important. Constancy.
Demons don't like that.
They don't like
demons
constancy.
Like inconstancy.
Yep, right.
Because constancy means faithfulness. You're always doing again. They go, right. Oh, they're praying again. Oh, they're going to Mass again. Yep. Oh, they're blessing themselves with holy water again. Oh, the demons don't like that.
And you know, Jess and I have, since the elections, we have been praying on the hour and every hour. We pray the Our Father, Hail Mary, and the Saint Michael.
For justice.
So, for justice. We need justice for this election.
Yes.
And I think that's really helped us, too. It decreased our anxiety level. And I want to share that with
you. We're also unplugging from a lot of social, you know, a lot of the media, television media, the fake news.
Yes, we've kind of, the fake news, we never watched it anyways.
Yeah,
but
so.
We just kind of like pulled back a little bit just to let the course take place and just pray
and
more.
And watch the political stuff for less.
Yeah. So right now, that's where we're at.
But, unplug,
you know,
and
always
pray more.
Prayer should always supersede anything else in this world.
Let me just mention the last thing about the old theology of prayer. Mental prayer gives you custody of the intellect. And also, as I said, prayer makes the power of God present. There's a Greek word, it's called anamnesis. It's a Greek word that means, it means more than remember. It means to make prayer present. And the demon, the occult, they say the same thing. They say conjure, spells conjure. We say anamnesis. It makes prayer present, the things of God present. The cult says we conjure. Remember that demons attack the mind because they don't want you to pray. And demons traffic through the senses. That's a wrap, Anita. We'll continue this.
Oh, wow. It's so fast to be with all of you. Gosh.
Great show. Thank you very much for the audience. And thank you for all the comments on the chat. This is Jesus 911. First responders, Lord, come to our assistance. That's what 911
means.
Tobias and Sarah.
Bids you farewell. Have a beautiful, wonderful week.
Up next, Gary Machuda.
God bless you.
Hands-on apologetics.
Yep. Gary, he's up.
He's
up to bat.
And both of us, we're 10-7. Out of service. But never out of service for Jesus. We're always 10-8 for Jesus and Mary. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.